It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can catch us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and, of course, on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And this show is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you, as always. Bill, I wish we could be starting this week off on a different note, but we saw something with Auburn this last weekend against Missouri that, unfortunately, was far too familiar.
Absolutely. War Eagle, glad to be here. Wish it was a better start. Taking a loss after having a 17-3 lead and watching it go away in the last quarter of the ball game was pretty disappointing.
Yeah. I will give Auburn credit for this just right out of the gate. They played this game exactly how we expected them to. We talked about Missouri. I don't want to rag on them because they are a good team, but I think Texas A&M proved this is a very flawed team. I think it's a one-dimensional team with the rushing end as far as how they rely on their rushing attack. And if you can score on them on the rushing end and stifle theirs, the game can be as good as yours. You held them to 82 yards on 31 carries. I mean, you shut them down on the rushing end.
Yeah, Auburn's defense did well. It was pretty much a carbon copy of the last three games. Defensively, right. They held all the way to the third quarter, and then I don't know if it was just they got tired or the other team figured out what was working and made adjustments.
Right.
But the defense looks good. It's just you can't leave them on the field for that long. I was happy to see that Auburn was trying to run the ball more, which is what we talked about last week. We needed to run the ball. Jarquez Hunter did get 19 carries. I think I said on the air last week, I wanted to see him get at least 20, if not more.
Yeah, maybe perhaps north of 20, yeah.
Their defense was obviously ready for a running attack. They held him to 19 carries for 57 yards, three-yard average, which is half of what his average was coming into the game. So they were stopping him. They were shooting the gaps. I noticed a lot of their defense. They were able to shut down the end. Mm. So they took away the sweeps and the speed around the edges. They closed the edges down. And then their interior linemen were shooting gaps, which put them in the backfield quite a bit.
Yeah.
Which means that the first hit on the ball carrier was behind the line of scrimmage, which means yard after contact was super important for Auburn, and we just weren't able to make anything happen after contact. There were three tackles for loss. There were two sacks against Peyton Thorn. I mean, Peyton, counting the sacks, he had 11 carries for 18 yards.
Yep. You know?
So they were shutting down the running game, especially interior, and when it was a passing down, they were closing the end, and they were closing the pocket down and making Thorn either have to throw the ball away or do something with his feet. We didn't commit five turnovers.
That's true.
That part of the game has improved.
Yeah. I think it was y'all just had one turnover, right? It was a fumble?
Yeah, one turnover, and then we had a special teams touchdown recovery where they muffed the punt, and we picked it up in the end zone for a touchdown. That accounts for almost half of what our score was. You know, we scored 17 points, seven of which were a special teams mistake on their part.
Right.
So the production offensively wasn't quite there yet. But I do like the philosophy of trying to run the ball more. Even if it made them key on it, and they did what they had to do. They shut the running attack down, cut the yardage for the ball carriers in half of what it has been for the year, which did turn Auburn into more of a one-dimensional team late in the game. And then their offense just looked so much better in the fourth quarter. The plays they were missing coming into the fourth quarter, they were hitting in the fourth quarter when it counted. And yep. they made up the difference, the deficit in the score from 17-3. And, of course, them making that touchdown, well, they kicked a field goal to make it 17-6. Then they scored a touchdown and went for two and got it. That was the momentum. That's when I felt like watching the game with other people, that's when we all kind of felt the momentum shift. Really shifted, was now they're within 7 points.
And they're on a tear.
And now they're behind by three, 17-14. And, it changed the way you had to play the ball game in the fourth quarter. And we just didn't step up and make the adjustments like they did. They made a lot of adjustments, especially on the offensive side of the ball, to change that game.
Yeah, I mean, Mizzou did – I talked about Auburn doing what we wanted them to do. Mizzou did exactly what we thought they would do in this situation. We knew it was going to be low scoring because we knew Missouri was going to be physical. And we wanted to force Mizzou to pass. That's what we wanted, because it's not like their passing game's bad by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of experience on it, but their rushing game is such a big deal. It was a big deal last year when they had their 11-win season. They had that Cody Schrader or whatever his name was. He was like a 1,000-yard rusher. So when you look at how just run-heavy they are, they know, okay, Auburn, physical defense. They've got a talented running back or two themselves. This is going to be a low-scoring game, physical game. We got to come out and win it. And that is what they ended up doing. Luther Burden shined, I know, on their game-winning drive. And also Mizzou, to give them credit where it's due, they were well-disciplined. I think they only had 2 penalties for 24 yards.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They were disciplined. They didn't commit penalties. They didn't make big mistakes.
They didn't give you any.
Part of what happened in this game, too, is Brandon Cook, their quarterback, got injured in the first quarter.
Yeah, Brady went to the hospital.
Rolled over on his ankle, so he wasn't in the game for the second quarter or the third quarter. When they brought him back, that's when they scored the touchdown and went for the 2 points. So now they have their starter back, and he's looking like he's not injured.
I don't know. He's locked in. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what they did to fix his ankle so fast, but he came out there, and that just changed the momentum. Especially changed the momentum for them, because now they're rallying behind their starting quarterback, and he's performing.
Yeah.
And then that score with the 2-point conversion just kind of took the wind out of the sails a little bit. You could feel it. Just watching the game, you could feel it change.
Yeah. No. Sometimes even when your team still has the lead, yeah, you can tell, and it's just like, ah, geez, we're not out of this yet.
You know, they were 11 for 22 for 194 yards in the air, and the majority of that was the end of the third quarter and the fourth quarter.
Right. And, I mentioned that Mizzou was going to have Auburn pass as well. Peyton Thorne, just to look at his stats here, he had 176 yards, 1 touchdown pass. He also had the fumble earlier, but do with that what you will. When you contain Jarquez Hunter and you've got that you've got to run this offense on, it's not bad, as you said. It's not 5 turnovers, but it's just not enough. 176 yards for a single touchdown, when you're on the road against a physical SEC defense, that's not going to cut it. And that's what we saw this week. You mentioned Jarquez Hunter getting more carries. I do think, as you said, that is one positive trajectory we can take from this. Auburn is giving him more carries. He had 19 against Missouri. That is, that's the second most he's had in a game this season. The only time he had more, he had 20 against New Mexico. So do they need to use him more? Yes, but luckily it seems like they're figuring that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, against New Mexico is a completely different defense. So
he
was able to capitalize on their inability to match up physically. Missouri was a completely different animal. They're much more physical. They're obviously a bigger, faster team, obviously being an SEC team. And they game planned for what I was hoping Auburn would do. They game planned for Auburn to start off trying to run the ball, especially between the tackles, and they shut that down.
Yeah. I know I'm just spouting numbers here, but this is another one that kind of stood out to me. You talked about Jarquez and how many yards he was averaging, and then how Missouri, they rushed the box, man, and they did. They got up in your face right as the play is beginning, just because they knew that's what they had to do. Jarquez, he had not averaged less than 5.6 yards a carry in a game this season, and he averaged just 3 on the Tigers. That is just physically being outplayed there, and as I said, if you can contain that, I don't think you want Peyton Thorne getting into an offensive battle with Brady Cook, Theo Weiss Jr., and Luther Burden III. I just don't think you want that. No. And that was the difference maker when Brady returned, yeah, as you said, late in the game. So it's a heartbreaking loss. It's another one that Auburn could have won. And as you said, through it all, right? I mean, obviously, Brady getting hurt may have played a role in it, and you always hate to see that. But you were still up 17-3. We're talking about the containing of Jarquez Hunter. We're talking about how Peyton Thorne didn't play that great. You were still up by 2 touchdowns.
Yep, that special teams touchdown put us up 17-3, 14-point lead.
Right.
And you just can't sit on that. Auburn knows better. Being an Auburn fan, I've seen this scenario play itself out so many times. I even mentioned it to you before we went on the air.
A cardiac team.
Auburn is a cardiac team. I mean, if you have heart trouble, you don't need to be watching Auburn football games.
Yeah, it ain't for you. No, it is. It's a darn shame because we can sit here and we can die on the hill of well, you know, Auburn's a darn good 2-5 team.
It's woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Exactly. We can do that, but it doesn't get you anywhere.
The positive I take away from watching this game, as well as the last game, and especially the way we played against Oklahoma, it was improvement week after week.
Yep.
Small improvements in some areas, but in other areas we made big improvements. It's just not quite enough right now to get us over the hump. It's you're there and you feel like you're almost on top of the mountain. It's almost like the Peanuts character where she's holding the football and he comes to kick it and she yanks it away right at the very end.
That's exactly
what this feels like. It's like, you know, you the carrot's right there, and the more you reach for it, the further away it gets.
No, I get you. I mean, we were talking about Auburn's point differential in every game throughout the season. They've lost one game by more than 10 points.
It's never gonna change my love for the orange and blue. I don't care what kind of season we have. I'm all in, always will be.
And I think Auburn is honestly a perfect example of just a state, and we can touch more on this later because obviously it was a very eventful weekend for the SEC, a couple of high-ranking games there. But I think Auburn really is fitting in with this SEC image of, man, anybody can beat anybody. Auburn's been in every game they've played. And even with 2-5, even with blown leads, even with this loss streak they've got, I'm looking at their future games and I'm like, Auburn can win just about all of them.
Yeah, our worst game was against Georgia, and we were really in the game until the end of the third quarter.
Yeah.
You know, we were never outpaced, and there was never a runaway against our opposition in any of these games. Georgia just got on a scoring streak in the fourth quarter, and we couldn't stop it. But we, like you say, we've been in every game we've played, and I see improvement every week. I'm frustrated that the improvement hasn't turned into points on the scoreboard. And I think part of it was kicking, and we're going to talk about that some more in the next segment.
Yeah.
And another thing that I am happy about and we can talk about in the next segment is the recruiting.
Yes, Auburn's been making some good recruiting headlines just these past couple weeks alone. I mean, because we've been touching on it almost weekly now.
Yeah, Deuce Knight just got upgraded to a five-star recruit this week, which, you know, that changes the complexion of what Auburn's recruiting year looks like.
Oh, absolutely.
Compared against other teams, you know, we're still in the top three in the country in recruiting for this recruiting year. So, yeah, I think there's big things on the horizon.
Right.
As long as the NIL and the portal doesn't mess it up.
Well, and as you said, we've touched on it earlier this year. Auburn, you know, with the players that they've grabbed and the culture that Hugh Freeze is trying to run there, it does seem like he's trying to establish this, you know, loyalty, this consistency. You stay here, you build the team, we grow together, so on and so forth. Quite frankly, how college athletics is supposed to be. So hopefully, yes, I'm right there with you. Hopefully,
whatever they're cooking, people are buying it.
Exactly.
The kids are buying it, and they're excited about coming to Auburn, and they're not letting what's happening on the field this year affect what their commitments are.
Awesome.
That's a great thing.
All right. So just past a quarter after 10. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Lowe's knows that to win the job, pros need the best prices. That's why only at Lowe's, MVP's Pro Rewards members can get a volume discount on eligible orders as low as $1,500 at the Pro Desk. That means you get the prices you need to start any job, small or large. Because Lowe's knows pros. Valid in-store only. More terms and restrictions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms or Pro Desk for details.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EXIT25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Man, last night we put on an epic light show.
So epic.
The crowd loved us.
Wait, there were only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? Their eyes lit up brighter than ours, and we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to be out here rocking out our light show at a forest near you. So come check us out.
Check us out.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Pensacola sports enthusiasts, get ready for an action-packed day of sports talk on ESPN Pensacola. Starting at 9 a.m., it's Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Then, from 11 to 2, buckle up for the Rich Eisen Show, where Rich dives deep into the day's biggest sports stories. At 2 p.m., don't miss the Paul Feinbaum Show, your ticket to the world of college football and beyond. And at 6 p.m., wrap up your day with Amber and Fitz. It's a lineup that hits out of the park on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. Stay plugged into the sports conversation.
Saturday in college play, UWF takes on Shorter University at 3:45 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us, it seems like however you already are, but just in case you need some other options, we've got 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and our ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Pryor. Oh, well, you know what? Nope. Let me not introduce myself. Let me say this show is sponsored by Cochin Forest Steakhouse. Where are my manners? All righty. Austin Pryor and Bill Clark here in the studio with you, as always. When we left off, we were talking about Mizzou, of course, and the circumstances of that game. Very heartbreaking defeat for Auburn. Falls to 2-5 on the season. But I'm not just saying this to be an optimist. I am being legitimate. Auburn giving Jarquez Hunter more touches. And you're competing in these games, so you're a tough 2-5 for what that's worth. Now it's Kentucky, and it's on the road again. But this is not the Kentucky team that we've seen. They won a couple 10-win seasons several years ago with Mark Stoops. Right now, they've got a losing record, and they just got marauded by Florida, 48-20.
Yeah, I was listening to their commentator on their podcast, the Locked On series. And he mentioned that there's still quite a bit of their fan base is calling for Mark Stoops' head after this season, which I can't for the life of me understand that. I don't think he's a bad coach. I mean, look at what they did in the Georgia game.
I think ever since Kentucky lost Calipari, they're trying to prioritize their football program.
Yeah, they are. But, I mean, this Kentucky team is – well, first off, they're physical.
They're a tough team.
They have a very good defense. They had a hard time against Florida, and I'm not sure what to make of that. I don't know if that was
– more Florida being
well, I don't
good.
Know. I don't know if Florida changed – some I didn't get to watch the game, so I haven't watched that many Florida games this year. So I don't know if Florida came out with something different than what they had game planned for, and they just weren't ready, or if this was one of those games where they just could not put the pieces together and play like they did against Georgia. I mean, to me, their benchmark for this year is that Georgia game, even though they lost it. That's the Kentucky that you have to game plan for.
Right.
Because that was by far, in my opinion, their best performance of the year. Their vulnerability is the running game. Mm-hmm. Our defense is going to have to make them one-dimensional, and we're going to have to do just like we were talking about, give the ball to the running backs, run the ball.
Yeah, it's going to be another game like the Missouri game.
Yeah,
it's going to be physical, run heavy.
If the worst rushing average for Jarquez all year is 3 yards, that's still not bad.
No. As I said, every game before that, he was averaging 5.6.
Oh, my gosh. He was. You give him the ball twice, you got a first down.
Exactly.
So I really think that Auburn needs to stick with that platform, run the ball a lot more, open up the passing game, make that game part of the game a little easier. I don't know if Kentucky's defense is quite as fast as Missouri's defense was, because Missouri had fast guys on the edges, which is what we were talking about. They shut down the edge.
Yeah.
I don't know that Kentucky has that speed and physicality on the edges, but they definitely have a good defense. They have a great linebacking core. You look at their linebackers, all of their linebackers are 6-7 tackles per game.
Right.
One or two for loss. And when they are rushing the passer, the linebackers are a big part of that. They're coming straight up the middle, and they're hitting the holes that the linemen are making for them, and they're getting in the backfield pretty quick. But they don't blitz very much. They're more oriented towards run game. So I kind of see Auburn – that's where the matchup to me is going to be Auburn's offensive line against their defensive line.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Very physical game, as we said. And not just as far as how Jarquez Hunter can run on this defense, but also your defense is probably going to contain Kentucky. Because here's the thing. Kentucky is still yet to exceed 20 points against a Power 4 opponent. 20 is the most they've scored against a Power 4 foe. So it seems like this is another good time for Auburn's defense to shine. But as you said, Mark Stoops has coach this team to be competitive. You can't count them out in any game they play. They're really fitting that SEC image we talked about in the last segment. But they held Georgia to 13, and they held Ole Miss to 17 when they beat them in Oxford. And Ole Miss, you know, once they started losing games, they just became known as injury fakers, and we kind of forgot about them. They're still top 20. So it's not like Ole Miss is some, you know, terrible team now. You got to look at this situation and say, man, no nonsense. As I said, Missouri gave you nothing. Kentucky's going to give you nothing. You got to be able to run the ball down their throat, and you got to stop them. You just got to contain their offense, which clearly doesn't seem like it's that hard to do.
I believe that's the key to the game. Last week in their loss to Florida, the part that really hurt them the most was they were 4 of 13 on third downs. Mm. So they weren't converting, keeping drives alive. And I think that's where Auburn's defense is going to Auburn. I truly believe Auburn has a better defense than Florida. So I really think
I can't say you're wrong.
Yeah, I really think that Auburn's defense is going to hopefully do the same thing with Kentucky, make them three and out as many times as we possibly can. And we cannot rely on scoring points on special teams like we did against Missouri. We're going to have to score points offensively. Hopefully, one thing that's going to change that this week is we're going to get our kicker back, our starting kicker back.
Yeah, we had talked about that that Towns kid. And listen, he's a freshman, right? I don't want to rag on a freshman, but he wasn't cutting it. Just very inconsistent.
Yeah, I think he missed, five or six field goals in the last two games?
It took him...
one drive, he missed two field goals on the same drive. Cause
yeah.
He missed it, got the penalty, 5 yards closer, and he missed it again. Yeah. Alex McPherson is a much better kicker, especially long distance. He has a better average long distance. Of course, Magoo, like you say, he's a freshman. That's a horrible position to be in as a freshman, backing up a seasoned kicker that already had a whole season under his belt.
Right.
And then after the first game of the year, you're stuck out there as the starter. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to put on that kid. I don't think he's a bad kicker. He just he found himself in a bad situation.
Right.
But I'm looking forward to having Alex McPherson back, and I'm hoping that he's 100% and good to go. And that could be the difference for Auburn's offense.
Yeah.
This game is
having more confidence
in the kicking game and taking advantage of those opportunities to put points on the board.
Right. Because we've seen a couple times where Auburn, as you said, Towns would Magoo, he would miss an easy field goal, and it's like it's from 27 yards out. Well, simple math tells us that means you got to about their 10-yard line. You got to be able to close those drives, but if you don't, at least then you'll be like, okay, well, if we got to kick a 42-yarder, at least we can comfortably say we never really got particularly close to their goal line. And as you said, that's more consistent points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the stat in front of me, but just counting on my hands, I can think of at least 10 drives over the course of this season that Auburn has driven the ball into the red zone, and we've either turned the ball over or – went for it on fourth and goal from the one and turned the ball over on downs or missed a field goal. And I think we have – I'm not sure. Like I say, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but I think we have equal or more of those type of drives than we do drives where we actually scored on.
Yeah, successful drives.
Yeah, and that's the part of the game – that's the part of the game that really needs to change for Auburn to close out this season – and end on a better note.
Well, and that's what I was about to say. We can talk about closing out drive after drive. Just closing out a game. I mean, we talked about it earlier. The issue with Missouri was, we can sit here and say, ooh, close game. You can look at the final score and say that. But no, when you find out that, that 21-17 was at one point 17-3, it's like, okay, what are we doing here sort of thing? And we saw that against Oklahoma. What was it, 21-10? You lost 27-21. You can't have double-digit leads being blown. You have to be able to play this, consistently from beginning to end. That's what's going to cost you in some of these tighter games. That is what will cost you against Kentucky.
Play to win. Don't play not to lose.
Exactly. You got to – because it's one thing, yes, if you're up by 20 points with 5 minutes to go, sure. You know what? Maybe just kind of play a bit more conservative. Just kind of chew that clock and get out of there. But if you see this team catching steam – And that gap's getting narrowed. You can't just, as you said, let's just keep doing this and hope it works this time. No, you've got to be able to adapt and close the game out, and that's been one of the biggest problems with Auburn. As broad as I just described it, it's nonetheless true. I see this being a physical, low-scoring game. The current spread for this game is 2.5, I believe. I just checked it. Yes, ESPN says Kentucky favored by 2.5. That's not crazy, especially with Kentucky being at home. And the over-under, 43.5, I do not like the sound of that remotely.
I think it's going to be lower scoring than that.
Exactly. Significantly. I'll tell you this. I've got my over-under not even being 33, much less 43.
Yeah, it's going to be more akin to the Kentucky-Georgia game. It's going to be, a couple of field goals here and there, maybe a touchdown in one of the somebody hits a long pass, gets behind the defense and scores, but that kind of thing is not going to happen. Of course, I mean, we say that, and this could be a, this could be a 42-35 game. But
yeah, who knows?
But with both teams having the kind of defenses that they do, I just The over-under, I'm definitely taking the under.
Just, as I said, just on Kentucky alone. You hold Georgia to 13, Ole Miss to 17, and you can't break 20 all year? That tells me, against an Auburn team that has an unsatisfactory passing offense and a physical defense of their own, this is going to be – like, I got both teams scoring under 20. Like, it's that low.
Oh, yeah, 14 to 10, yeah. 17 to 13, something like that.
Something in that realm, yeah. But, you know, of course, we'll give our exact score predictions. For a moment there, I thought Bill was reading my sheet here. He got pretty close to mine. But, yeah, no, you get the idea. Very low scoring, very physical game. But it should be, nonetheless, a very competitive one. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu.
Progressive presents 10 things on a plumber's to-do list that are harder than getting a small business insurance quote. Waking up for 5 a.m. plumbing disasters, finding out why water is pouring from the ceiling, replacing a pipe in a home from the 1800s, then dealing with invoices or your awkward apprentice or that really weird smell, and then there's breathing and eating and, of course, clogs. But the easiest thing on any small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you could save on the business insurance that's right for you. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Coverage provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text Sizzle to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text Sizzle to 42424. That's Sizzle to 42424.
It is the veteran, not the preacher, who has given us the freedom of religion.
It's the veteran, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote.
It's the veteran, not the poet, who has given us the freedom of speech.
The veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to assemble.
It is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press.
It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial.
We should all be very proud of our young men and women in the service, no matter where they serve. Thank you.
Washington High School clashes with Destin High School. It's the ESPN Pensacola High School football game of the week, Friday at 7 p.m.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you, as always. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about what the keys were going to be to Auburn's success on the field. However, these past couple weeks, we've also been spending some time talking about Auburn's success off the field, particularly their recruiting. What do you got for me, my friend?
Auburn's recruiting is awesome. One thing that's coming up before too much longer, is the All-Star Classic game between Alabama and Mississippi, where they pick all their All-Stars out of their high school programs.
Yeah.
11 of Auburn's commitments are going to be playing in that game. I mean, that's so we're going to get to see what the future of Auburn's going to look like in just watching that game. I'm sure it'll be available on certain outlets. Auburn's having success in other areas. And we know that Auburn is the reigning national champion in men's golf.
Right.
Right now, Auburn is ranked number one in the with their equestrian team, and we just beat number four SMU this past week. So
you can beat a Texas team with horse part of the name. That's pretty impressive.
Yep. Auburn's looking real good there. And another thing that I really love is Janiya Broome was named Auburn's first preseason All-American since 1999. Mm. And he is far and away in many arenas the number one overall player in NCAA for men's basketball. So I'm really looking forward to this basketball season.
Yeah, and as we said, I think Auburn was a four seed in last year's tournament. So they have. They've been floating around on the basketball scene for a little bit.
Yeah, make it to the Final Four in 2019, be in the tournament every year since, and like you said, a number four seed in the bracket.
Yep.
And we lost to Yale.
I think it was Yale.
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, everybody loves a good underdog story. Wish it wasn't against Auburn, but, you know, what are you gonna do?
But they had a great year, and they went deep in that bracket, so they, it wasn't a fluke.
And as I said, I mean, you beat a team called the Mustangs and Equestrian, so that's pretty cool, too. All righty, looking at some of these games, of course, we touched on Auburn and Kentucky. Kentucky favored by 2.5. Probably going to be a low-scoring game, making that 43.5-point over-under quite offensive to my eyes, at least. But we've got a pretty loaded slate in the SEC beyond that. Starting off on an anticlimactic note, Ole Miss hosts Oklahoma. Now, let me just say this. I do not like arrogance. So I kind of roll my eyes whenever an SEC fan says, welcome to the SEC, baby. However, Oklahoma has, in fact, been welcome to the SEC. 35-9 against South Carolina in Norman last weekend.
Yes, now they South Carolina look good.
Yeah, now they go to Oxford to take on the 18th-ranked Rebels. I mean, Ole Miss favored by 20. What do you think? You think they cover?
I don't know if they cover a 20-point spread, but they're definitely going to win.
Yeah.
I could see it being a 14 to 17 point difference there.
I am right there with you. I think Ole Miss wins by a couple touchdowns. I don't want to – I know how South Carolina looked, and it was a whole thing, but I don't want the conclusion to be, oh, all of a sudden Oklahoma is just going to get dominated by everybody else they play throughout the rest of the year. Oklahoma had a very physical defense, and even in their loss to Tennessee, which is where a lot of people were saying the whole welcome to the SEC thing, people were saying, hey, I liked how – I mean, Nick Saban, I think, even said it. Hey, I like how Oklahoma's defense looked against Tennessee. Very physical defense. You don't notice it against the Texases of the world, but they are pretty physical. If Ole Miss sleeps on them, that will keep the game closer. But, yeah, I'll still take Ole Miss by a couple scores. This is one that is sneaky good. Auburn, we talked about them being a tough 2-5. If there is such a thing, I think Mississippi State's a tough 1-6. They host – or is this – yes, they host Arkansas. Arkansas, very disappointing against LSU last weekend, but they still have a winning record. Do they go into Starkville and take care of the Bulldogs?
I believe they do. If they
really?
Play if they play like they did in the Auburn-Arkansas game, they're going to beat Mississippi State.
Man, I mean, see, Arkansas's coming off and – an ugly home rivalry game loss. Mississippi State, Starkville can be a tough place to play.
They're mad.
Yeah, they. I mean, Mississippi State, they gave Texas a slow start. Georgia couldn't escape them. 41-31, I think, was the final score. So Mississippi State, they've just been kind of sitting around there with some of their tough games. I don't know. I think Arkansas is currently favored by 6.5. I'm okay with that. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, as I said, a tough 1-6 is still 1-6. So I'll take Arkansas, but that is, I think, a game that they struggle in. Then we've got – now, this one's very interesting. Number 21, Missouri, goes to number 15, Alabama. Any other year, I look at this and I say Bama's got it. Bama's currently favored by 16.5. They're knocking on the door of a three-possession edge, despite the ugliest 3 weeks they've had in years. Does Mizzou give Bama a scare here?
I think it's going to be an ugly fourth week.
Really? Do you think Mizzou beats them, or do you think Mizzou keeps it close?
I think Missouri's going to beat them.
You think Mizzou's beating Bama? Wow. Earlier this week, I was on record as having said that Alabama is going to win this game. I think the score I gave was 34-13. I have since changed that score to 31-17, and I am getting increasingly less confident as the week progresses. I'm just not – we've been talking about, hey, you can't count Auburn out of any game. You can't assume Bama's going to win any game.
Well, right now, as far as we know, Brady Cook is healthy.
Yeah, so, haven't heard anything about him.
Haven't heard anything more about that ankle injury. So I look for him to start. And that Missouri defense, like we just finished talking about, they've got speed and they're physical and they shut down the edge, which makes you one-dimensional.
And also, we talked about Mizzou being a very disciplined team against Auburn,
yes.
If you didn't hear it earlier.
Two penalties
for
the whole game.
24 yards, that's it. Alabama, in their loss to Tennessee, I'll just put it to you this way. Tennessee had 9 penalties for 95 yards, I believe. Or was it 11 for 95? It doesn't matter. Bottom line is Tennessee was very undisciplined. Bama was still the less disciplined team. They had 115 yards of penalty yardage. They also have a turnover problem. We have to consider that as well. Jalen Milroe has thrown, 6 interceptions in his last 4 games? Yeah. This is a hideous Bama team. And I'm not saying that just because we're on an Auburn program. It's rough.
Well, they had a lot of penalties in the Vandy game, too.
Right.
And they were...
And Jalen Milroe fumbled in that game.
Yes. They were prone to make mistakes, and they did make a lot of mistakes in that Vandy game. And Missouri will capitalize on mistakes.
Yeah, I look at that 17-point spread. It's essentially a 17-point spread. I do not feel good about that. I will take Bama. I've taken them all week. I'll stick with it. But we're looking at a Bama team that can lose any game at this point.
Yeah, this is my upset game.
Wow. I mean, and I'm surprised that the bettors and the people that are making these spreads, deciding these spreads, I'm surprised that they still have that much faith in Bama. Because, as I said, I'm not trying to rag on them. Bama's last 3 games have been a loss to Vandy where they gave up 40 points, a close win over South Carolina in Tuscaloosa that they only won because South Carolina played uglier than they did, and then you go to Tennessee and you lose that game. Once again, very ugly discipline and turnover-wise. So Missouri, if they're riding high after this Auburn win last week, they're not going to be a pushover for Bama. I do think Bama wins, but watch out for that spread. All right, here's another upset alert that Bill may have in mind. Number 5, Texas, goes to number 25, Vanderbilt. Texas is favored by 18.5. Vandy, they got into the rankings. Hey, good for them. The problem is they had to beat Ball State by 10 points to do it. Do you think Vandy was just looking ahead to Texas and they're fixing to mollywop them?
I don't know that they're going to mollywop them. This is going to be a much closer game than that point spread.
Much closer, huh?
Yes. I think 7.5.
Wow. So just
I do like Texas to win the game.
Yeah.
But I think Vanderbilt's playing, how do you say it, way out over their skis. they still are good, and they've already proven that they can play with whoever shows up.
Man, I am just not sold.
I just don't like that point spread. I don't like that wide a gap after what Vanderbilt has done this season so far. I don't think that's a –
I think Texas
– if it was at Texas, maybe, but at Vanderbilt, I just don't – I don't see that.
I think Texas wins this game by – I think, honestly, I have it being around 18. I'll say like 38-20. That'll be my just score prediction off the top of my head. And that means I have them winning by 18. Well, the spread's currently 18.5, so I'm going to have some better sweating on that one. But, man, I don't know. Vandy, I just look at their wins. Their 2 best-looking wins are over Bama – and at Kentucky. Well, we just talked about how ugly Bama's playing.
Yeah.
And Kentucky's got a losing record today.
Well, I see that game being more like 35-21, 35-24, something
okay.
like that.
Well, if Vandy can keep it competitive, good for them. Then we've got, man, another high-ranking one. Number 8 LSU goes to number 14 Texas A&M. A&M, Kyle Field, one of the toughest places to play, allegedly. TAMU favored by 2.5. What do you think?
I like LSU.
Really?
I think LSU's playing better ball. To me, they're kind of the same as what we were looking at with Florida. They started off a little wobbly, but they're getting the pieces back together. They're back on track. They're a disciplined ball team.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid to take chances when they need to score points. So I see the 12th man thing at Texas A&M is a big deal going there.
Yeah.
I see the home field advantage being a huge factor in this game, but I still see LSU winning.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe these are the only two teams that are unbeaten in SEC play still.
I believe that's correct. I believe they're
– man. LSU 3-0, Texas A&M 4-0 in SEC play. I got to tell you, in the afternoons on our sister station, News Radio, my co-host Chris Bryan, I think he went to LSU, big LSU guy, and I have doubted LSU before. It has come back to bite me. I thought LSU was going to struggle with Arkansas. I thought they may lose to Arkansas. They did not. I had LSU losing to Ole Miss. They did not. I got to learn my lesson eventually, but it's not going to be this week. I've got Texas A&M, and I've got it being a good game. I've got them covering that spread because it's only 2.5 points. So I'll take TAMU close. Hit my mic there. But, oh, man, LSU, they're going to give them a scare. I would not be surprised if LSU won that. Alrighty, and just very quickly here, I was floating this story for time, and we've got some time to work with. What do you think of the situation regarding Georgia and Texas? And I'm not even going to talk about the garbage throwing because we could talk about that for several minutes. Just the state of the SEC. Who do you think the best team in the SEC is right now?
The best team in the SEC right now is Texas.
Really, even after the double-digit home loss to Georgia? Really?
Yes.
I think Georgia. And I think that just because, what about the Bama game? Bama owns them. What do you want me to say?
Don't sleep on LSU, though.
LSU
could go undefeated in the conference.
LSU's still lingering around. Them and the Aggies both.
I would say Texas, Georgia, and then a sneaky LSU sneaking in there. They could easily overtake the top spot in the conference.
Man.
They've done it before.
Georgia's regained my trust after the Texas game. But, this really is a deep conference. For the first time in what feels like years, the SEC is as deep as people say. So who knows? It could very well be anyone's game. 10:49 here. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll touch on some of the games that are swirling around nationally. And, of course, we'll put our finishing touches on Auburn, Kentucky. We'll give our score predictions, but you and I have already kind of implied where we're sitting. Low scoring, tight finish. But we haven't said who we think is going to win. We got that and more coming up right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coaching Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win. Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
Great game. You got into the end zone again and again. How'd it feel?
Awesome. Like getting a new iPhone again and again. I just got the new iPhone 16 Pro today.
Really?
Yeah. And with AT&T Next Up Anytime, I can upgrade early every year.
Very nice.
Feel like an MVP again. Learn how to get the new iPhone 16 Pro on us and the latest iPhone every year with AT&T Next Up Anytime. AT&T. Connecting changes everything. Offer subject to change. Additional fees, terms, and restrictions apply. $0 offer may not be available on future iPhones. Next Up Anytime feature may be discontinued at any time. See att.com/iPhone for details.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. It's School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the FHSAA and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Are you passionate about making a difference in your community? Pensacola State College's Nonprofit Center for Excellence invites you to sponsor or participate in the executive training and certification programs for nonprofits. Mentor local nonprofit professionals on finance, human resources, legal, board, program, and fund development issues to empower them to thrive and create lasting change in our community. Call 850-484-1560 to be the catalyst for positive change.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Booker T. Washington High School clashes with Destin High School. It's the ESPN Pensacola High School football game of the week, Friday at 7 p.m.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And, of course, brought to you by Coaching for Steakhouse. Austin Price and Bill Clark with you, as always. Bill, we had talked about recruiting earlier, and you said you had more news on another promising Auburn recruit. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of Auburn's running back commitments, Alvin Henderson. He is the first player in the history of Alabama high school football to surpass 1,000 career points.
Really?
He did that this year, and he's coming to Auburn.
All right.
So I look forward to him matching up with Deuce Knight, and that's going to give me something to really look forward to, and I'm really happy about that.
No, with what Auburn has proven this year, even in their losses, with what they've proven and with the talent they're getting, I do think the future is promising. And you know what else is promising? There's a special going on at Coaching Forest Steakhouse, correct?
Absolutely. We have to acknowledge our sponsor, Coaching Forest Steakhouse. They have a special. If you saddle up to the bar, you can get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. And if you do go to Coaching 4, whether it's for the special or just patronize their restaurant, be sure and tell them you heard about it here on ESPN Radio and you heard about it on War Eagle Weekly.
Absolutely. All righty. So we touched on some of the games swirling around the SEC. Looking at some of the more national games here, we've got number 12 Notre Dame taking on number 24 Navy. Can't believe this is a top 25 matchup. In East Rutherford, New Jersey, so neutral site, Notre Dame favored by 13.5. Do you think that's a fair shot? Do you think Navy's being undersold? What do you got?
Oh, I believe Navy's being way undersold.
Really?
You and I were just discussing off the air. I am super excited about the military academies this year. Auburn, or Army and Navy, both are undefeated and ranked.
Yep.
It's like the first time in 30-something years that both of them have been ranked in the top 25 in the same season. They're having a stellar year, and I love this matchup.
I think Notre Dame wins, but Navy covers. Excuse
this me. Is one of my upsets. I think Navy can beat Notre Dame.
Really?
I think they can.
Yeah, a lot of people – let me make this very clear. A lot of people say this about Army and Navy, this whole thing about, oh, well, they haven't played anyone. You're right, they haven't. They haven't played teams that are that tough. But have you seen how they've played them? They're not winning by field goals. They're not winning in overtime.
No, it's convincing.
Yeah, they're demolishing their opposition the way that you would want a Power 5 team to consistently do so.
And both of them have very solid defenses.
Yes.
So they're going to if they win this game, it will be defense will win this game for them.
All righty. Number 20 Illinois. They're a team that's kind of floating around. Their only loss is to Penn State, 21-7, recently beat Michigan. They travel to Autzen Stadium to take on number 1 Oregon. Oregon favored by 21.5. Do you think they hold that spread?
Can you believe they're in the same conference?
Yeah, I can't believe Illinois is traveling this far for a conference game. That's a very good point.
Oregon, Illinois is impressive this year, but Oregon is Oregon. they have so much speed and so many so much talent in their skilled players.
Right.
I'm okay with that spread.
Okay. And we'll touch on this one because it's Floridian. Florida State travels to Miami. Miami's number 6 in the country. They have one of the most electric offenses in the nation. Florida State just lost to Duke for the first time ever to fall to 1-6. Miami is favored by 21. Do you think Miami covers? I think they do.
Man, this game, one of my favorite people here in Pensacola does the Florida State show. and I love him to death, and I know he's all in on Florida State. I don't see Miami covering the spread.
Really?
And my heart says Florida State's going to win this game, but my head says Miami's going to win.
So, but you're torn.
I don't see it. I don't see a covering of the point spread, though.
Wow, really? I think I'd put down the score of like 44-10 or something. I got Miami just rolling over the Noles.
I don't know. Duke exposed them.
Well, see, that's the thing. Duke's a tough team. Duke's a good team on paper, 6-1. But the toughest team they've played this year is Georgia Tech, and they lost by 10 points. You know, they struggled with UConn. They struggled with an FSU team that didn't even score an offensive touchdown and turned the ball over 4 times. So I'm not sold on Duke. I think Florida State just exposed them more than anything. I think Miami rolls with that one. I'm sorry, y'all. All right, we got a rivalry game here. Kansas and Kansas State. Kansas State's number 16 in the country, 6-1. Kansas 2-5, very disappointing. But Lance Leopold's one of the better coaches in the country. Do you think this is an upset alert in Manhattan?
Absolutely not.
Oh, you think K-State just demolishes them?
I think Kansas State is for real. And
K-State's favored by 10.
I've picked Kansas State every time they've come up in our discussions on this program because I believe that they are as good as their record is.
Really?
Actually, I think they might even be a little better than their record. But
their only loss is to BYU. BYU's in the top 11, I think. I think they're 11.
They're a very good team, and going to Manhattan to play them is – That's a tough place to go play football. That ever since they turned that program around, 20 years ago,
yeah,
they are a force to be reckoned with.
All right. I'll take K-State as well, especially being at home. All right, Vandy and Kentucky and Auburn. Who do you got?
I've got Auburn winning 20-13.
I got Auburn 17-14. It'll be a close one. It'll be a good one right here. Not right here. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.